turn to page 50 of our songbooks. This is Sri Radha Kripa Kataksha Stavaraj. This is a prayer that everybody who lives in Vrindavan knows. And it's a prayer addressing the mercy of Srimati Radharani. So we will attempt to sing this together. So I was thinking that we can perhaps sing it together, not in unison. So I'll sing and you can all sing at the same time. We'll sing this. And then I have a different translation which is a little simpler, so I'll read that. I don't know what you play, what beat. No, it's like a tube if you play anything, just like this, quiet. Why don't we start singing and then you can see if you can play something to it. Munindra Vrinda Vandite Triloka Choka Harini Prashanna Vaktra Pankaje Nikunja Bhuvilasini Vrajendra Banu Nandini Vrajendra Suno Sangate Kadakarishya Sihamam Kripakataksha Bhajanam Ashoka Vriksha Valari Vitana Manda Pastite Prabhala Vala Palava Prabharunangri Komale Varabhaya Spuratkare Prabhuta Sampadalaye Kadakarishya Sihamam Kripakataksha Bhajanam Anangaranga Mangala Prashanga Bhanguru Bruvam Savibramam Shashambramam Durgantavanna Patanai Nirantaram Vasikrita Pratita Nanda Nandane Kadakarishya Sihamam Kripakataksha Bhajanam Tadit Suvarna Champaka Pradipta Gora Vigrahe Mukaprabha Parashtakoti Saradendu Mandale Vichitra Chitra Sancharat Chakora Savalochane Kadakarishya Sihamam Kripakataksha Bhajanam Madon Madhati Ovane Pramoda Mana Mandite Priyanuraga Ranjite Kalavilasa Pandite Ananya Dhanya Kunja Raja Kama Keli Kovide Kadakarishya Sihamam Kripakataksha Bhajanam Ashesha Hava Bhava Dhira Hira Hara Bhushite Prabhuta Sata Kumbha Kumbha Kumbhi Kumbha Saushtani Prashashta Manda Hasya Churna Purna Sokya Sagare Kadakarishya Sihamam Kripakataksha Bhajanam Rinala Vala Valari Taranga Ranga Dorlate Latagra Lasya Lola Nila Lochanava Lokane Lalalu Nanmilan Manogya Mukta Mohanashrite Kadakarishya Sihamam Kripakataksha Bhajanam Vanam Malikam Chita Vireka Kambukam Taje Sutra Mangali Guna Sri Ratna Dip Diditi Salola Nila Kuntala Pashuna Bucha Gumpite Kadakarisya Sihaman Kripa Kataksha Bhajana Nitamba Bimbalamba Mana Pushpa Mekala Gune Prashasta Ratna Kinkini Kalapa Madhya Manjule Karinda Sunda Dandikara Vaha Soba Goruke Kadakarishya Sihama Kripa Kataksha Bhajana Aneka Mantra Nada Manju Dupurara Vaskalat Samaja Raja Hamsa Vamsa Nikvanati Gorave Lahima Valari Vidam Vicharu Chankrame Kadakarishya Sihamam Kripa Kataksha Bhajana Ananta Koti Vishnu Loka Namra Padma Jachite Himadri Japuloma Ja Virinti Javara Prade Apara Siddhi Vritti Ditta Tatpadanguli Nake Kadakarishya Sihamam Kripa Kataksha Bhajana Makeshwari Kriyeshwari Sadeshwari Sureshwari Triveda Bharateshwari Ramana Shashaneshwari Rameshwari Shameshwari Pramoda Kananeshwari Rajeshwari Vrajadipe Shiradike Namostute.
There's one last verse that isn't here, that is not exactly a verse. It's the, like in an Astakam, there's eight verses and then you get the benediction. So there's one last verse that I can sing, and if anyone knows it, they can sing along with it.
Iti mamad bhutam stavam nisamya bhanu nandini karotu shantatam janam kripa kataksha bhajanam Bhaveta daiva sanchita tri rupa karma nashanam Labheta davra jendra suno mandala praveshanam Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Sri Radhe Radha Sham Sundara Radha Sham Sundara Radhe Jaya Radha Kanta Radha Kanta Radhe Madan Mohan Radha, Madan Mohan Radhe. O Jayo Radha, Govinda Radha, Govinda Radhe. Gopinath Radhe
Jai O Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai O Shri Radhe. Krishna Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari
Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nivishesha Sunyavadi Paskatya Desitarani.
So we will show some slides, but I wanted also to read something, because actually originally this slideshow was supposed to be done by my husband and then he had to suddenly leave, so I'm not as prepared as I would have liked to be for this particular show, because he had a whole series of slides of Govardhan, which he was eager to show you. So I will show you some slides of some different places in Vrindavan. We'll quickly go through some, particularly some prominent trees.
some places that we've spoken about and some other places also. But before we see the slides, I'd like to read something. This is of a little different than the slides, which will be a general display. But this is from a book by Sanatan Goswami called Brihad Bhagavatamritam. And Srila Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that if one would like to understand all about devotional service, all about the Supreme Lord, all about the position of a devotee, all of these subject matters, if he would like to understand them, he should read this Brihad Bhagavatam. So it was the first book written by the Goswamis. Sanatan Goswami was the first one to write any literature. And it is said that all of the other books written by the other Goswamis were based on the information given in this Brihad Bhagavatam. And the story is given in the format that Maharaj Parikshit, he has just heard from Sukadeva Goswami the Srimad Bhagavatam. Then his mother, Uttara, asks him some questions. So this Bhagavatamritam is written in two sections. So at the beginning she speaks with him, she wants to hear him speak something more. And he had decided that after Sukadev finished speaking, he would be quite silent. He would fast and be silent until his death. But because his mother is anxious to hear some transcendental nectar from his mouth, he agrees to speak in answer of her questions. So he speaks the first half of the Brihad Bhagavatamritam, which describes the different gradations of devotees. Who is the topmost devotee? Who has received the most, fullest extent of the Lord's mercy? So he begins with the story of Narada, looking to find out who is this person who has received the most of the Lord's mercy. And he goes from lowest to highest gradations of devotees, beginning with a devotee that he meets who's very pious here on earth, and then proceeding up right through all the different planetary systems, the Swargalok and so on. He goes to see Indra and says, "I heard that you're the greatest devotee." He says, "No, I'm not. You should try Brahma. He's the greatest devotee." And he goes to Brahma. He says, "No, I'm nothing." He explains how I'm completely insignificant. You should ask Lord Shiva. He goes to Lord Shiva. He says, "I'm not nothing. You should try in Vaikuntha Lakshmi, the residents of Vaikuntha. They're much superior in their devotion than me." Then he goes on. He sees Hanuman, Prahlad, the Pandavas, up to he greets Uddhava. And then Uddhava, because Uddhava has been to Braj, he, when remembering the standard of devotion of the residents of Braj, especially the gopis, he says, "No, I'm nothing." And then he says, "It's true that I have so much association with the Lord, as you've heard, but I can tell you about who are the topmost devotees." So he begins to describe the level of devotion of the residents of Braj when Krishna is absent. And he's describing the suffering that they're all undergoing in his absence. And Krishna, that morning, as it so happened, had complained that he didn't feel well. And he wouldn't come out of his room, as if he had a headache or something. He didn't want to come out and talk with the other, with his queens or any of the other family members. So he's in the other room, and Uddhava starts glorifying at the instigation of Narada, the residents of Braja. But he also starts talking about their terrible condition now that Krishna has left them. So during the course of this conversation, Krishna himself hears what Uddhava is saying and what Rohini Devi is saying also, because she's seen the residents of Braja. And there's one grandmother, she's the mother of Kamsa, and she's a bit daffy, and she keeps complaining that the residents of Braja, they misused you, they made Krishna, they made him go cow herding because they wanted the money. And she's saying all sorts of opposite sentiment. And as this is taking place in the other room and the queens are all listening, Krishna comes out, and hearing this, he's so disturbed of mind, hearing about the condition of the residents of Vrindavan in his absence, that he begins himself moaning and weeping. And this was actually the cause of his unhappiness that particular day, that he had was remembering them. And then his agony increases and increases in his mood of separation, and Balaram also trying to pacify him, he also becomes disturbed remembering the residents of Braja, and they both faint, crying and crying, and then they fall completely faint as if dead. And Narada feels terrible because look what he's done. Everybody, all the Yadu family are all disturbed,
And Narada is apologizing and doesn't know what to do. And then finally, as I remember, it's sometime since I've read it, I think Lord Brahma gives, somebody gives the advice that Vishvakarma should be called for. And he should build somewhere in Dwarka another Vrindavan, a new Vrindavan. He should build a place that looks just like Vrindavan. And so he's called for and he builds that place. And then he says that Garuda should come, and Krishna and Balaram, still unconscious, should be placed on Garuda and carried to that place. And there he's made jewel deities of Yasoda and Nanda and of Srimati Radharani. And everything is all just like in Vrindavan, but it's in Dwarka. So when Krishna arrives there at that place, then all the queens beg whoever's in charge, whoever came to make this arrangement, I think it's Brahma, to please be able to witness this, because they've never seen Krishna in this mood. Because as we were reading at Kurukshetra, he always has his shoes and his armor on, golden armor and his golden crown, and he's looking so chivalrous and he's completely in a different mood. So they want to see him in this Braj mood. They've never seen this, except one queen whose name is Kalindi. She has seen this. So Kalindi and I think it's Rohini went in there, right? Because she was actually in Braj, so she dressed and she went inside. And Balaram was there, and Satyabhama, Kalindi, and the old grandmother insisted that they wanted to see this. So they hid in the bushes and they were watching. And they dressed Krishna completely as a cowherd boy, as he dressed when he was in Braja, in the yellow pitambar dhoti. And he was with his flute and his hair all loose and curling, and flowers in his hair, and a simple flower crown with a peacock feather on it. And when he comes to consciousness, first Balaram comes to consciousness, and then he awakens Krishna and says, look, look, it's Vrindavan. And they start acting as if they're in Vrindavan. And when they come to this point, the queens are so overwhelmed with amorous feelings for Krishna, they want to leap out from behind the bushes and meet them. But Kalindi stops them, because she knows, and she holds them at a distance so they can witness this. And so then Krishna goes running up to Mother Yasoda, and Rohini comes. So she's really there. So she starts talking and saying, look, your mother and father have just made this and this. Take this out for your lunch. You can go with the cows. And so the deities are there. And so he's completely thinking that now I'm in Vrindavan again. And then he goes after Rohini says, now Yasoda has given everything. Now you can go. We'll call the boys. They're just coming. Something, something, something. And then he goes to see Srimati Radharani before he's leaving. And he tells her, you know, last night I had a terrible dream. I dreamt that I left here and I became a king and I married so many queens and I'm living in this place. You know, it was a terrible dream, but I'm, you know, everything's all right. Don't worry. And he's talking to Srimati Radharani like this, but it's a deity. And he's talking, and he's completely peaceful. Then he takes the cows and they're going, and as they're going, they come to the bank, the shore of the ocean, because it's Dwarka. So he says, oh, this is the Jamuna, and they're all looking, and they're thinking, oh, I'm in. And then somehow or other, I've forgotten, as I said, fully the end of the story, but he discovers that actually he's in Dwarka. He's not in Vrindavan.
The water is salty.
So then he finds out this is Dwarka. And then before he can again go into an intense mood of separation, I think it's Lord Brahma comes and tells him that this is your incarnation is like this, you should be doing these duties now, so perform your duties and so on and so forth. So he remains cheerful, and then Garuda comes and he gets on Garuda with Balaram, and they're carried back to the palace. So they're sitting there and everything is going on. And then I think it's somebody comes in to tell him that the only one person who got upset when they saw how much he was satisfied in Vrindavan and actually what was on his mind and how he was constantly only meditating on the residence of Vrindavan was Satyabhama. And Satyabhama got upset by this. And she, because Satyabhama we know is also the, she's a manifestation of Srimati Radharani. And also her mood is very left-wing. She's contrary. So it explains in the book that actually to increase Krishna's sentiment, she did this.
that she was saying, well, why, you know, this is not fair. Why does he love them more than us? We've done so-and-so, so many things. And this, of course, produced an increase in Krishna's emotions. He became angry when he heard that Satyabhama said like this in this mood. So he calls her. And she comes, and everyone's afraid, but she comes. And then he starts chastising her. Do you think that I get anything here like the pleasure I get in Vrindavan? Do you think that any of you could bring me the type of pleasure that the residents of Vrindavan bring me? Srimati Radharani, he starts glorifying. But then they become afraid that he's going to again become completely mad. So then Satyabhama says, yes, I'm very sorry. I've made a big mistake. Something like that. And then Krishna becomes peaceful. And Narada sees this. And he understands from watching this who are the most dearest to the Lord's heart. That it's the residents of Vrindavan. So Uttara is hearing Maharaj Parikshit telling this for her benefit. But she has a sort of she has some uneasiness of mind. Because she doesn't want to think that anybody else could be given any quality of glorification anywhere near that of the Brajavasis. Their position is so superlative that she wants to hear more glorification of what is actually their position of devotion. So she asks a question to her son, saying like this, expressing this feeling that how could anyone have any devotion, anything like the Brajavasis? So then he tells a second story. And this story is meant to indicate how the jiva, or the spirit soul, goes back to his natural swarup, or his position in the spiritual world. So the character who leads the second part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita is called Gop Kumar. He's a cowherd boy, and he lives at Govardhan Hill. And he's a small boy just playing happily on the side of Govardhan Hill, and very peaceful, everything's very nice. And one day, one sadhu comes there. And this sadhu, he sometimes sees the boys coming and going in different ways and playing, and they all offer him respects. And sometimes they even come and listen to him. And Gop Kumar develops affection for him and also has faith on him. So one day this sadhu tells him, if you go and take your bath in the Jamuna and come here immediately, I will give you one mantra. And if you chant this mantra, it will be very good. You'll obtain everything from it. So he comes, he goes and takes his bath, and he comes and sits down, and he's given the Gopal mantra by this his guru. But then the guru, because he's so high and elevated, he becomes completely ecstatic, and he goes into an ecstatic state of trance, and he faints. So the boy tries to take care of him, but then when his guru comes back to consciousness, he seems to just disappear. And he doesn't know how to chant the mantra, he doesn't know the rules of the mantra, or what is the benefits of the mantra, he doesn't know anything. But he's very faithful, so he starts chanting his mantra, chanting this mantra. And then, as the progression of his chanting of this mantra, he leaves Braj and Govardhan, and he goes to the bank of the Ganga, and he meets one pious Brahmin there. And he's very impressed with his devotion and everything. But then after some time, something disturbs him. How the Brahmin doesn't properly honor prasad. So he goes from there, or in his mind, he thinks like that. So he goes from there to Jagannath Puri. And when he gets to Jagannath Puri, he becomes completely blissful because he can see Lord Jagannath and he can honor the Lord's prasad, and so many people are taking prasad, and he's very happy there in Jagannath Puri, and he feels that this is the perfection of his life, to be there in Jagannath Puri. So after some time, he's going daily to the temple, taking part in the festivals, feeling very happy. The king of Puri dies, and they're searching for the next heir. And it's discovered that this boy, Gop Kumar, has on his hands the signs that he's a suitable person to be the next king. So they, finding this out, they make him the king. And when they make him the king, he finds that this is a little troublesome, because now he doesn't have as much time to take prasadam, take the darshan of Lord Jagannath, and to simply be immersed in his devotional activities. So after some time, he puts the kingdom back in the hands of the other people in charge there and goes on with his devotional mood. But he finds one more thing that's difficult for him, and that is that he can't be 100% satisfied in Jagannath Puri. because he's from Vrindavan. So he's 50-50. He finds that he's there and he's happy and everyone's happy, but he keeps thinking of Mathura Vrindavan. But he can't leave either because it's so nice there. So he gets, you could say, on the mental platform, and he's thinking to leave, thinking to stay, and this begins to make him feel unhappy there. And finally, Lord Jagannath himself, because he's chanting his mantra, and his worshipful deity, his final destination, because he's a cowherd boy, his final destination is Madan Gopal. He's a Sakyuras. So by chanting the mantra, Lord Jagannath appears to him and tells him that actually you should go back to Mathura. I'm fully present there. So then in the morning, he's a little doubtful if this is an actual real instruction, but the servants of Lord Jagannath come with a garland that convinces him that actually this dream is correct. So he returns to Vrindavan. But from Vrindavan, he goes to another place and another place and another place. And chanting his mantra, he goes to higher and higher levels, Swargaloka, Satyaloka, so many different places in the material world. And by continuing obediently and strictly to chant the mantra, he goes even through all the layers of that cover the universe, the material world, and enters into the spiritual world. Then he goes place to place there also. And each place that he comes, first when he reaches Vaikuntha Loka, he sees Lord Narayan, and he thinks, oh, this is the worshipful deity of my mantra. And Lord Narayan is so happy to see this boy from Govardhan, he's a Brajabasi, that he even manifests a form like Madan Gopal, like a cowherd boy, to satisfy Gop Kumar. But he can't retain that form because he's the Lord of Vaikuntha. So Gop Kumar, because his home and his destination is Govardhan, he's not happy in Vaikuntha. He feels some lacking. All the majesty of everybody being very formal and offering prayers with folded hands, and Lakshmiji sitting there always doing all the service for Narayan, and he can't do anything, and he wants to sit with him and joke with him like a cowherd boy and feed him off his plate. He wants to do all of these things. This is his nature. But he cannot do this in Vaikuntha. So Narada sees him and gives him further advice and instruction, and he proceeds on to Ayodhya, finally to Dwarka. And from Dwarka, he's happy for some time in the resident with the presence of the Yadavas. But after a little time again, he's not satisfied. So then Narada again comes, and he sees this. And Uddhava also notices that the seed of this boy's nature is to be in Vrindavan. So then Narada talks to Uddhava, and Narada says perhaps for further learning he should go now to Jagannath Puri again. So Uddhava says, no, don't send him to Jagannath Puri, send him to Vrindavan, he belongs there. He says, if he goes to Jagannath Puri, there'll be so many festivals there, so much activities going on, that he'll become happy. And when he becomes happy, he'll become proud. And therefore, this will slow him down. But if he goes to Vrindavan, he will feel so much separation, so much he will feel the absence of his worshipful deity. So send him directly to Vrindavan. So then Narada gives him that advice. You should go directly to Vrindavan. So he arrives in Vrindavan. So this is now, he's come through all of these stages and he's about to have his first darshan of his worshipful deity Madan Gopal. So I want to read a part of this chapter. Shri Gop Kumar said, following Narada's instructions, in a sweet voice, I chanted Lord Krishna's dear holy names. And I sang of and meditated on his pastimes here. He's now in Vrindavan. When I saw the places of the Lord's pastimes, my heart became filled with love, and my body displayed the symptoms of ecstasy. In my heart I am embarrassed. How can I tell all this to others? Tormented, I passed my days and nights, pitiably crying in pain. Soon I did not know whether I was filled with bliss or drowning in an ocean of pain. I did not know whether I was in the flames of a forest fire or in the cooling nectar waters of the Jamuna. Sometimes I thought I must have fallen into the hands of a demon. I was always drowning in an ocean of pain, and even the slightest fragrance of happiness would not touch me. This was because of his mood of separation. Thus I lived in this grove that decorated the Vrindavan forest, and one day, as I was drowning in an ocean of weeping, I fainted. Then I met the crown jewel of all merciful persons. With a hand holding a flute, he wiped the dust from my limbs. Again and again, this most wise person playfully shook me. He flooded my nostrils with the unprecedented sweet fragrance of his body. I reverentially gazed at his lotus face. I quickly got up, my heart filled with joy. I tried to touch his exquisite yellow garment. Making playful melodies on his flute, that best of heroes moved behind me and then fled into the forest. I ran after him madly, but I could not catch him. He disappeared. Not seeing him, I fainted, and I fell into the current of the Jamuna. As I was carried along, I became unconscious, and I opened my eyes. I saw that, carried by a vehicle, rising faster than the mind, and traveling along a very wonderful path, I had arrived at a very splendid and flawless place. Collecting my thoughts, I happily saw Vaikuntha Loka, within which were Ayodhya and many other places, and I became filled with wonder. Then carried along, I left all of them behind. Then I came to effulgent Goloka, which was above all the worlds and which I had long desired. Here was the circle of Mathura. Everything was as it had been on earth. In the circle of Mathura, I went to Mathura city. Gazing at it, I became filled with wonder. There I heard that imprisoned Devaki, Vasudev, and his own father, Kamsa, had usurped the kingdom. Afraid of the demons, the Yadavas could not be happy or act as they wished. They found themselves troubled by Kamsa day and night, and some had fled, and some had taken shelter of him. Being also afraid of him, I left. I bathed in the Vishranti Tirtha and quickly went to beautiful Vrindavan. There, in Goloka, which the demigods, kings of the planets and their associates cannot approach, seeing a country glorious as the sunrise, where there were the ways and customs and human language of Bharatvarsha's Aryavata, I became filled with wonder and I plunged in an ocean of bliss. In a moment I saw cowherd men going here and there and elderly gopis picking flowers. Everyone there was extraordinary, different from any people I had ever seen before. It seemed that someone had stolen the treasure of their hearts. Simply by seeing them, I became like them. Carefully composing myself, I approached them and I asked them this question. O people, served by great bliss beyond what the great Paramahansas can desire, O people to whom the loving devotees of the Goddess of Fortune's husband pray for mercy, please look with kindness on this poor person. Who has come to you for shelter, and tell him, who is the king of this place, and where is his palace, and by what path does one go to him? O fortunate ones, please be kind to me, who with the plaintive words asks, O saintly ones, please give some sign of an answer. So it's everywhere he went, he was asking, what's happening here, what's happening here? And everybody was very friendly to him. But here when he got to Braja, everyone was preoccupied, as he said, as if somebody had stolen the jewel of their hearts. So they were not able to pay him much attention. Please hear the words of troubled me. You must be overcome with love for some charming person. Again and again, with plaintive words, I asked everyone I saw, and I went to the different places in Braj. Moving my eyes in all directions, far away, I saw a palace filled with great sweetness. On that side, and also everywhere, I heard the beautiful singing of gopis, the sound of them churning yogurt, and the tinkling of their ornaments. Suppressing the bliss I felt in my heart, I approached an elderly man who was emotionally singing Krishna, Krishna, and crying. I carefully listened to the broken words that he spoke. Simply by hearing the words, "This is the palace of Krishna's father, the Gopa King Nanda." Simply by hearing these words, I fainted, overcome with happiness. In a moment, brought to consciousness by the kind elderly man, I ran ahead and came to the palace gate. There I saw millions and millions of wonders never seen or heard of or imagined by anyone. O best of the Brahmanas, I could not understand whether all the people were filled with bliss or overcome with sorrow. When I heard the gopis' songs, I did not know whether they cried in the greatest happiness or in the greatest sorrow. As I looked at this place, which I had ascended higher and higher to reach, I thought, I am in the material world. Then I thought, no, I am above all material and spiritual worlds. I am above the material and the spiritual. Then an elderly lady came and I bowed down before her. And with sweet words I asked, where does the son of Nanda enjoy pastimes today? The elderly lady said, he who gives life to us, the people of Braj, in the morning went to the forest with his cows, friends, and elder brother to enjoy his pastimes. But now it is evening, so he will return. Their eyes fixed on the path, all the people of Braj now stand by the Jamuna's shore. Even the trees, eager to see him, stretch their leaves and branches high. He will come by this path. Sri Gop Kumar said, it was as if I was suddenly bathed with great streams of nectar. With a single glance, I saw the path that she had showed. I was stunned with bliss. My legs could no longer move. And with great effort, from far away, I could hear the sound of cows mooing and playful, sweet flute melodies filled with many charming waves of sound that enchanted the people of Braj, made the trees shed tears that were a great flood of nectar, made the people of Braj shed a great stream of tears from their eyes, made milk flow from the breasts of the elderly mothers, and made the swiftly moving Jamuna become motionless. Whether this flute flows with poison or with nectar, I do not know. Whether this sound is harder than a thunderbolt or softer than nectar, I do not know. Whether it is hotter than fire or cooler than the moon, I do not know. Because of it, everyone in Braj has become mad. Now they have fainted unconscious. Then I saw some of the women of Braj coming from the palace carrying in their hands articles for offering artik. Others carried on their heads ornaments and delicious foods. As they hastily and confusedly ran to the direction of the cows mooing and the flute's music, some of the women stumbled and fell. Some had put their ornaments in the wrong place. Some had forgotten to tie their belts or hair. And some, stunned like trees, stood outside their homes. And some fainted flat on the ground. Some of them, their faces were wet with tears, and they fainted and were being carried by their friends. And others, overcome with love, came there and said to their friends, look, it is he. Continually singing his names and pastimes, decorated with to the Jamuna's shores, as if pulled by somebody, I ran behind them. Then from far away I saw him. His hand was glorious with the sweet flute. He quickly ran from his friends and cows and said, O Shridam, now I have found my friend Swarup, who is a brilliant sun shining on the lotus flower of your family. And then gracefully he continued walking. He was decorated with forest ornaments, a moving kadamba garland, and a peacock feather turban. His fragrance filled all directions, and his blossoming lotus face was handsome with a playful smile. His lotus eyes glistened with merciful glances,
and his only real ornament was his own wonderful handsomeness. The fingers of his lotus hand pushed back the moving locks of hair decorated with dust raised from the cows. To beautify the surface of the earth, he touched it with his soft lotus feet as he danced gracefully. Splendid with the sweetness of youth, his handsomeness made all the directions glorious, and the ocean of his many glories charmed the hearts of his eternal dear friends. Controlled by the love of his helpless devotees, he ran to me. I fainted with love by seeing him, and he embraced my neck, and then, suddenly, he fell to the ground. In a moment, I became conscious, and I carefully freed my neck from his embrace. I saw him fallen to the ground, unconscious, covered with dust and muddying the path with his tears. The gopis all ran there and said, "Who has come here? What has he done to the goal of our lives? Alas, now we, the people of Braja, are all dead." Crying and lamenting in many ways and saying, "Perhaps he is a servant of the magician Kamsa," they all gathered around Krishna. The gopas quickly came, and seeing the situation, they cried pitifully. And hearing the sound of crying, the people of Braj, Nanda and the gopa men, Yasoda, who dearly loved her son, and the other women, and all the gopis fainted, and stumbling as they came, they all ran there, crying out, "Alas, alas." Then the cows, bulls, calves, and the black deer, and the other animals all came there, and seeing what had happened to Krishna, they all cried in agony. Gently making sounds of love, their faces bathed with tears, they approached him again and again, and smelling him, they licked him again and again. Crying as they flew in the sky above, many aggrieved birds made a great sound. Their hearts filled with pain, the unmoving trees and plants suddenly became withered and dry. How can I say it in words? All moving and unmoving beings became as if they were dead. Tormented, drowning in an ocean of sorrow, confused about what I had done, placing my head at his feet and crying, I also lamented again and again. Then handsome Balaram, whose fair complexion was decorated with blue garments, and who was dressed and decorated as his younger brother was, and who was only slightly older than he, with great fear, quickly came from far away. Balaram, the leader of the wise, cried at first, but then he became peaceful at heart. He looked about, then he took my arms and carefully placed them around the neck of his younger brother. He made my hand stroke Krishna's handsome limbs. He made me call out to him with wonderfully sweet words. He made me lift him from the ground. At once he opened the charming lotus eyes that had been sealed in streams of tears. Seeing me, he happily embraced and kissed me, but then, looking around, he became embarrassed. Having attained me, a friend more dear than life, he had not seen for a long time, taking my hand in his left lotus hand and asking me wonderful questions, bringing happiness to all the people of Braja and walking as gracefully as an elephant, the handsome lord entered the village of Braja. Unhappy in his absence, unable to go anywhere without him, and hoping to see the Lord in the morning, the forest deer passed the night at the entrance of Braj village. Again and again, flying over Braj, the birds gazed at Krishna. Unable to see him at night, weeping and crying, they left. So we can see the intensity of the love of all the residents of Vrindavan. Not only we see here the gopis, but we see everybody. They have an exclusivity of thought and feeling that was absent in every other place that Gop Kumar went. And they have love that is intimate. It's not bound by so many rules. They don't fold their hands in front of Krishna and offer prayers thinking that he's the Supreme Lord and we should pray for his mercy. They just simply have given the treasure of their hearts to Krishna. And therefore they serve him with such emotional, deep feelings. At the insistence of Nanda, who was full of love for his sons, the two brothers did not stay to talk to the cows after they had milked, but went directly home. Their limbs and garments bathed in the streams flowing of love from their eyes and breasts. Again and again, Yasoda and Rohini offered artik to each of the limbs of the two boys. With their hair, she offered artik to her son. She embraced him and lovingly kissed him. Will she hold his head to her breast or to her waist? Filled with love, he brought me to his mother and made me bow down before her. Seeing that her son loved me, she was as affectionate to me as he was, as she was to him. Then, ignoring all other duties, some gopis came there on a certain pretext. Seeing that the two mothers were making arrangements to bathe the two brothers, the mischievous lord said to the gopis, "O mother, we two brothers are tortured with hunger. Please quickly prepare our meal. Bring father and we will eat." Hearing these pleasant words, the gopis said, "O Yasoda, O Rohini, you need not do this duty of bathing him. We will do this duty. You two quickly prepare their meal and we will nicely bathe him at once." Yasoda said, "Girls, quickly bathe the older boy first and then send him to fetch Nanda so that he may also eat." Sri Swarup said, "Praising Mother Yasoda's pleasing words, some gopis quickly bathed Balaram and sent him to get Nanda as Yasoda and Rohini went to the kitchen. One by one, removing Sri Krishna's wonderful ornaments, they scrubbed his limbs with their own washcloths. Alerting me with a signal from far away, he tossed me into my open hand his flute, which was like the gopis' rival, for which they begged and which they tried to grab from his lotus hand. Then they anointed him with an excellent oil and carefully and expertly massaged him with the soft touch of their lotus hands. Still, either because he was so very delicate and sensitive, or perhaps out of playfulness, he cried out with a pained expression on his face. Hearing this cry of pain and at once coming out, she, who had placed all her love in her son alone, asked, 'What happened? What happened?' Seeing her son's smiling face, she understood, and she went back to the kitchen. Afraid, smiling and singing songs, the gopis finished massaging him." Sanatana Goswami explains that the gopis smiled because they knew that Krishna was only pretending to cry out in pain, but they were also afraid of Mother Yasoda that she would come out again. So they were trying to keep him pacified. Then with clear, warm and fragrant Yamuna water from jeweled jars, they playfully bathed him. Then with wonderful garlands, scented ointments, garments, and many ornaments all brought from their own homes, according to their own liking, they dressed him as a dancing actor. Then they fed him some food that they had hidden. And then with the offerings that are said to be proper to give again and again, they offered artik to him, and they placed the offerings on their heads. With paste of excellent sandalwood, kumkum, and musk, they drew wonderful pictures and designs on his neck, forehead, and cheeks, and in other places also. As he lovingly gazed at them, they carefully steadied him with their hands to decorate his eyes with black kajal. Again and again he spoke with them about the happiness of their pastimes in the forest. He said many joking words to them and pleased them. Interrupted again and again by their mutual friendship, his decoration did not attain its completion. Then, her heart filled with love for her son, Yasoda left the kitchen again and again, and seeing what had happened, she spoke the following words as if she were angry. Yasoda said, "Oh, you gopi girls, because of your fickleness and childishness, his bathing and decoration is still not finished?" Sri Swarup said, understanding the playful hearts of the gopis, whose eyes were then fixed on their beloved, an elderly lady said, "Oh, daughter Yasoda, please happily see how these girls have brought handsomeness to your dark son." Hearing these words of her nurse Mukara, she again left the kitchen. And understanding the joke her nurse had said, she spoke again as if angry. She said, All handsomenesses offer artic to his lotus feet. My handsome dark boy dances again and again on the head of the entire world. The beauty of all these girls together is not worthy of offering artic to the handsomeness in the tip of one of his toenails. Sri Swarup said, "How can his handsomeness, glory, and sweetness be described? It cannot be compared to anything in this world, nor anything beyond it, nor even to the king of Dwarka, Ayodhya, or any other place. As Krishna is the crest jewel of heroes, so Radha is the greatest heroine. As Radha is the greatest heroine, so Krishna is the crest jewel of heroes." Completing the bathing and seeing that the Gopa king had come with Balaram, all the girls hid, and Krishna at once came before him. With the two boys at his side, Nanda sat down on a golden throne in the dining table and began to eat. Yasoda's son was at his left, and Rohini's son was at his right. At their insistence, I sat and faced them. The king of enjoyers then ate a meal that had all good qualities, that had all four kinds of foodstuffs that Sri Rohini Devi brought from the kitchen in splendid jeweled, golden and silver pots, and that his mother lovingly served him. His great golden plate filled with many cups of different kinds of food, he ate a great deal. Sometimes his mother and father or brother would carefully place some food in his mouth, and he would playfully and graciously accept it. As he ate, he drank excellent nectar from a golden cup and excellent water from another golden cup. In the beginning, he ate very sweet, warm milk mixed with sugar and ghee, jalebis, pushpa cakes, panika cakes, chapatis, and many other delicious foods cooked in ghee, and many sweets made with milk and yogurt. And in the middle, he ate many exquisite, sweet, warm, fragrant, soft foods, bataka cakes, papata cakes, soup, spinach, and other vegetables, many milk preparations of the sweet and bitter kinds, and many other spicy, bitter, and salty foods. And at the end, he ate curds with sugar, many kinds of curd and yogurt preparations, and buttermilk with hing, and he also fed me all of these different foods. Glorious with the dancing of his lotus eyes and the archer bowed eyebrows, the waves of his pastimes of his lotus face, cheeks and charming tongue, red lips and chewing teeth cannot be approached by words or the mind. From their own homes, the gopis bought many sweets cooked with milk, butter and sugar and placed them before Mother Yasoda. With wonderful playfulness, he ate them again and again, praising all of them, delighting all of the gopis, and with his own hand feeding me some of each of them. Then Sri Radhika brought a Manohar Ladu filled with sugar and placed it in Krishna's left side. Picking it up with the tips of his forefinger and thumb, and then lightly placing it on the tip of his tongue, he suddenly curled his mouth as if with an expression of distaste. His brother smiled. His mother became angry at Radha. His father was surprised. Radha's bewildered friends felt sick and her enemies rejoiced. Then he threw it on the plate to me, who was born in Radha's brother's family. And when I ate that sublimely delicious sweet, I became filled with wonder. Sanatan Goswami explains that Gop Kumar was related to Radha's brother Sridham. The sweet was not actually bitter, but Krishna thought it appropriate that one of Radha's relatives should eat it. It was actually the best of all the foods, and out of love, Krishna gave it to Gop Kumar. Why did Gop Kumar become filled with wonder? Because that sweet was the most delicious. So it proceeds on from there. It's a very wonderful book. And when we read this, at least I know myself, I had read in Chaitanya Chaitamrita Srila Prabhupada's recommendation to read this book. And I managed to find a copy of it. And when I read these parts where it describes so intimately all the details of what Krishna is doing, it's not just a general description, but it's so personal. What is his hair? He moves his hair back. It's so amazing to see what he eats and what order he eats. Then you start to realize that actually Braj Mandal, Vrindavan Dham, is real. And just as we studied earlier about serving Naam, Krishna Naam, Krishna Dham, and Krishna Kaam, we begin to understand what that means. That when we're chanting Krishna's name, it's not enough just to be chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, and only just chanting mechanically. And all you think your duty is finished if you can just quickly, swiftly pass through all of the rounds and get on with your day. And this is not sufficient to help one to be elevated to this quality of position. One has to go further. One has to come to Krishna Dham. And in the Dham, just as tomorrow we'll go again on Parikrama, and we've been on Parikrama twice already, we go to the places and we hear the pastimes. And although we cannot do everything in one go, we begin to develop an understanding that Krishna's pastimes are real. We hear these things, they enter and they make an impression on our heart. They leave some coating on the heart. And we forget perhaps after some time where we heard it, what we heard, what we did, what we heard in class. It becomes in the back of the memory, but it leaves an impression. And the impression that it leaves is that we want to know more. We become curious to understand more about Krishna. And he becomes like real, like a real but transcendental personality. And then the third aspect has two levels of understanding. Krishna Kaam. What is Krishna Kaam? We say so many times throughout the day that something happens and we say, oh, that must have been Krishna's desire. And we see Krishna's desire manifest in our daily activities, in our sadhana, in different ways. And we're told that the sixth point of sharanagati or surrender, when devotees tell you, oh, you should surrender, Prabhu, and they say this so easily, what does it mean? We understand sharanagati, given by Bhaktivinod Thakur, surrender means to accept favorable things that will help us love Krishna, to reject things that hinder our development of our love of Krishna, to always feel that Krishna will maintain me. Why am I in any anxiety about what will happen to me? This is surrender. To always think that if there's some difficulty, Krishna will protect me. Maintenance goes on day by day. Protection is for an emergency. And then the next part is to have no other desire than Krishna's. So we try to think like that. And we see that actually this word surrender, when we tell somebody you should surrender, is a very exalted thing. We use it easily when we want somebody to do what we tell them. You should wash the dishes, you should take over the deity worship for some time, some aspect of our temple service, they're not surrendered, they should surrender. But this is what surrender means. It's a deep thing. It's an ongoing, long process of making ourselves compatible with Krishna's desire. And the sixth stage of surrender is to always feel very meek and very humble. So this surrendering process, this is Krishna's desire. And we understand Krishna's desire in an outer sense by this. But his internal desire, or the actual meaning of this surrendering process, once we have passed beyond it, is that we will understand Krishna's desire in our eternal identity. Just like this boy Gop Kumar, he now understood what was Krishna's desire in relationship to him, in his eternal relationship with Krishna. So he's serving Krishna in various ways, feeding him, laughing with him, playing with him. This is the culmination of Krishna Kaam. So by chanting the name Krishna Naam, By meditating on the pastimes of Krishna Dham, we can obtain the perfection like this that we're reading about, of serving Krishna Kam. So we may hear these things and think these are very elevated and beyond me, but the process to obtain them is to hear about them. So therefore, it is very relevant to us all that we hear these things as much as possible. So I'll stop here, and it's a good thing we didn't have a slideshow because we would be without electricity. So I'll stop here. I don't think there's any possibility of seeing anyone's hands, but if anyone has any question they'd like to ask, I'll see if there's any way I can answer it. Yes.
I was wondering, pastimes of Lord Chaitanya.
Yes.
There's the disappearance of Haridas Thakur, which is a very emotional pastime and very heartbreaking. Now, in the pastimes of Lord Krishna and Vrindavan, I was wondering if there's any similar pastimes of someone leaving their body, because there are elderly devotees there.
I don't know of any pastime like that. The heartbreaking pastime of Vrindavan is a little different. The heartbreaking pastime of Vrindavan is when all of these persons who love Krishna with their whole heart, like the gopis, who when they blink, you can just think you blink so many times in the day, you don't even notice it. But when they blink and don't see Krishna, their love is so enormous that blinking of the eyes seems like yugas. So they can't bear a blink of the eye of not seeing Krishna. And they curse Lord Brahma that he's so foolish a creator that he makes eyelids that blink. So the heart-rendering pastime of Vrindavan is a little different, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us, he is Krishna with two reasons. Do you remember we talked about that in Navadvipa? He has one reason is to instruct how to learn how to worship Krishna. And the other one is to taste something that's also very moving. So in Jagannath Puri, we chose to talk about Haridas Thakur. We also chose to talk about Lord Chaitanya. And we saw that he also felt separation, not only in the case of Haridas Thakur, which was separation from his great and intimate devotee, but he felt separation from Krishna also, himself. So in sadhana stage, Mahaprabhu is acting as guru to show the example, how to feel separation from the Vaishnavas, how to worship the Vaishnavas, how to love and serve them. But in this perfectional stage, when one has attained the perfection of that love for the Vaishnavas, it's extended to feeling great feelings of separation from Krishna himself. So because Vrindavan is not a place of sadhana, it is a place of perfection. So everybody's absorption is on Krishna. So those gopis who can't bear that a blink of the eye seems like thousands and thousands and thousands of years, you can imagine how they felt when Krishna chose to leave Vrindavan. And this is also recorded in this Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that there's different glimpses of what they went through at that particular time. So this is the most moving pastime in Braja, is the mood of separation when Krishna leaves. So there's no exact equivalent of Haridas Thakur. That is a unique and special glory of Jagannath Puri, is the wonderful pastimes of Haridas Thakur. But the next stage after that is the separation mood of the residents of Braja. Does that answer your question?
I was just wondering if there was any...
There's no leaving of bodies, and because that, as I said, is in sadhana. He's a great devotee, and Lord Chaitanya is showing how to serve a great devotee. So that's for us to follow. But in Braja, nobody leaves their bodies, because they've already attained to... Haridas Thakur has a spiritual body. Just as Srila Prabhupada has a spiritual body. But he's showing us, giving us instructions for sadhana stage. In perfection, nobody leaves their body. They only miss Krishna. Everybody together is thinking like that. Any other point you wanted to raise? All right.
Thank you, that was a nice question. Krishna Das informed me on his paper that he's especially attached to Haridas Thakur and particularly likes that one pastime. Or liking wasn't the right word. He becomes very emotional when he hears of the passing of Haridas Thakur. Any more points? Oh, we're late again. There's the bell. So you should hurry down to the temple and take darshan of Radha Shyam Sundar. Krishna Balaram and Sri Sri Gaura Nitai. Jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Hari Bol.